Brexit, we will start the 49th session of our PAC, or PAC, as we all use this abbreviation of the Condensed Metaphysics of JNR. And let me, first of all, welcome all members and invited guests of our meeting. You can see the names on the screen. So, Pavel Alexeyev, Lachezar Avramov, Martina Dubnichkova, Hartmut Fuss, Richard Hall-Wilton, Nikolai Kardiov, Alexei Kuzmin, Pavol Mikula, it's me, Dénes Lajos Nagy, Toby Pering is absent, he excused, Rafaela Sardino, also excused, Derek Sanga, Jan Wasicki, and please the next screen. Invited experts are Alexander Joffe, Sasha, Ferenc Mezei, Manap Tashmetov, and let me welcome also ex officio members appointed by JNR, Georgi Adam, Pavel Apel, Oleg Bilov, our secretary, Alexander Belyushkin, Mikhail Knatic, Mikhail Itkis, Yevgeny Krasavin, as well as, of course, the present members of the JNR Directorate, Professor Matveyev, Alexander Sorin, Mikhail Itkis, Richard will come later, and also, I'm sorry, Boris, and of course, Boris Sharkov, last but not least. Okay, so the first contribution will be my one, so let me start. And this will be, as usual, just a report, a follow-up of our last meeting, including the conclusion. Including the conclusions of the Scientific Council. So that was the agenda of our last PAC meeting. I don't think you will read it, and I also suppose you don't want me to read it because that would take all the time. Anyway, let me just show you the highlights of our last PAC meeting. The main issues were alternative option of a new source of neutron at JNR. Second, the scientific case for the JNR's new neutron source. Of course, these two topics were strongly coupled. There was a third one, the cooperation between JNR and the National Synchrotron Radiation Center Solaris. And finally, as usual, reports and proposals on themes and projects. Okay, so I will very consequently only show the state of art at our last meeting, including the conclusions of the Scientific Council, and I won't go into details that happened afterwards because that will be the topic of several talks at our present session. So at this stage, there was a presentation showing an alternative option of a new source of neutron at JNR that was given by Professor Pepelishev, and the idea is shown here. It was a super booster facility and based on a tungsten target and plutonium dioxide multiplying core, And the recommendation of our PAC meeting was to go on with this idea and to work on the development of on the general concept of a new neutron source on the basis of the presented physical model. Second, Igor Lichagin gave a presentation at the PAC meeting showing the nuclear physics impact of the possible next neutron source. And the PAC recommendation was that we should start the development of a scientific case of, for the moderators of ultra-cold and very cold neutrons at a new GINR neutron source. Since then, once again, we had two meetings of the working group, one just after our last meeting and second one yesterday. And there were lots of seminars, and there was also a workshop in December. But as I told you, this will be reported about later during our present session. So the next topics, as I told you, that was the Solaris idea. Solcris, the GINR's new laboratory for structural research at the National Synchrotron Radiation Center at the Jagiellonian University in Krakow. And there are several important possible applications of this kind of cooperation in material science, in chemistry, in pharmacy, and in structural biology. And again, the PAC recommendation was to go on with this idea. Again, you will hear a report about it during our present meeting. Then Professor Boris Sharkov gave an information on the development of the GINR strategic long-range plan, and the PAC recommendation was that the subgroups should provide regular information on their work at their future meetings. Then the usual exercise, reports and proposals on themes and projects. We concluded one excellent project by Yuri Nikitenko, isotope identifying refractometry at the IBR2 reactor. The scheme is shown in this figure. And the PAC recommendation was a very positive judgment, but closing, of course, the theme. Given the successful completion of the project isotope identifying refractometry at the IBR2 reactor, the PAC recommended its closure. The next issue was, I hope it works, okay, an idea on the development of a facility for measurement with test electron beams at the Jelepov laboratory, LINAC 200. It was presented by Professor Gostkin. We heard with high interest this idea. Nevertheless, we have not been able to identify points that we felt, I mean, we as condensed matter PAC felt a kind of responsibility for. So our suggestion was that within our PAC it cannot be supported. Nevertheless, we suggested to elaborate a new version of this proposal and submit it either to our PAC or to another PAC. So the recommendation, the wording of the recommendation was that the PAC encourages the authors of the proposal development of a facility for measurements with test electron beams at Jelepov Laboratory of Nuclear Problems, LINAC 200, to elaborate a detailed scientific case within the scope of the PAC for condensed matter physics, or alternatively, to consider submitting their proposal to another PAC. Okay. Then The next theme was the theory of condensed matter that was very positively evaluated. Nevertheless, its continuation, it was suggested to have another name. So the PAC recommendation was to close the theme theory of condensed matter and to open a new theme theory of complex systems and advanced materials for the next period, 2090 to 2093. As usual, the educational program was also assessed by our PAC. The theme organization, support and development of Jainar educational program, and it was presented by Professor Stanislav Pakuljak, and the PAC recommendation was to close the theme organization, support and development of Jainar educational program and to open a new theme under a slightly changed name, organization, support and development of the Jainar human resources program for the period 2019-2023. Sorry, I hope it stops now. Okay, then we discussed the conceptual project of a research center for proton therapy at Jainar, presented by Professor Nikolai Rusakovich. The PAC recognized the importance of the further development of instruments and methods for proton therapy at Jainar and fully supported the idea of playing a leading role in disseminating the culture of proton therapy in Jainar member states. You remember this idea that was based on a collaboration with Chinese partners. The recommendation, the PAC recommendation was taking into account the real state of the phasotron and the ongoing work of the construction together with Chinese colleagues of the SC202 therapeutic cyclotron. The PAC invites the Jainar Directorate to elaborate the project of a new compact research infrastructure for therapy with proton beams, which could serve also as a pilot facility for future use in Jainar member states as well as an educational tool for training specialists in proton therapy. So the focus will be will be here on research and development, but certainly it is not the aim of Jainar to make clinical applications right here. After our PAC meeting, there was a meeting session of the Scientific Council, the 124th session in September. And let me show here two very important general conclusions of the Scientific Council with an emphasis of focusing the efforts of Jainar, the strategic within the strategic plan, so not to give the same weight to all proposals. It cannot be accepted that everything is important and very important because it finally means that nothing is really important. So one conclusion was that the Scientific Council emphasizes the importance of consolidating the scope of in-house experiments and of experiments within the framework of international partnership programs with essential contribution being made by the Jainar staff. And secondly, on the whole, the Scientific Council highly appreciates the ongoing efforts to implement the seven-year plan. However, considering the increasing number of new scientific themes and projects reported, the Scientific Council stresses that Jainar needs to consolidate its research program within the major objectives of the seven-year development plan. So the seven-year development plan should be taken really seriously, and it's no option that afterwards this and that and another topic will be as important as the main focus of the 7-year plan. Now, concerning PAC recommendations, the conclusion of the Scientific Council was the following. First of all, the Scientific Council took note with interest an alternative option for the development of a new source of neutrons or at GINR submitted to the PAC for condensed matter physics. That was the reflection to the proposal presented by Professor Pepelishev. The Scientific Council recommended that the suggested physical scheme based on the subcritical booster with plutonium dioxide core and non-multiplying tungsten target be thoroughly considered while elaborating the general concept of the new neutron source. So actually all options are open at this stage, were open and are still open. Second, the Scientific Council welcomed the initiation of a discussion concerning the relevant scientific program for a new source and, in particular, the development of a scientific rationale for the use of the moderators of ultra-cold and very cold neutrons at this facility. That was the reflection to the presentation of Professor Ligachev. The Scientific Council expressed its intention to continue together with this PAC to follow up on the development of the general concept of a new neutron source and its scientific program. This is the ongoing process right now. The Scientific Council took note of the activities of the team coordinated by the FNNP Directorate concerning the development of the concept of a new laboratory for structural research of macromolecules and new materials at the National Synchrotron Radiation Center Solaris of the Jagiellonian University, Krakow, Poland. The Scientific Council agreed that such a laboratory would contribute to extending the GINR research tools which is of considerable importance in terms of complementarity between existing neutron-based techniques and future X-ray methods. At the same time, the Scientific Council concurs with the PAC's recommendation to continue the analysis of the feasibility of the technical design as parameters required by future experiments in such a laboratory. The Scientific Council supports the PAC's recommendation on the reviewed themes and projects. In particular, the Scientific Council welcomes the successful completion of the project isotope identifying refractometry at the IBR2 reactor, which resulted in implementing a principally new method to study diffuse processes in layered nanostructures at the IBR2 facility and concurs with the closure of this completed project. The Scientific Council expects that the revised proposal of the project development of a facility for the measurements with test electron beams at Zhelepov Laboratory for Nuclear Problems, LINAC 200, be reconsidered, assuming that the authors of the project will elaborate a detailed scientific proposal within the scope of the PAC for condensed matter physics, or alternatively, will submit this proposal to another PAC. Appreciating the recent achievements with the concluding theme theory of condensed matter, the Scientific Council agrees that the new theme theory of complex systems and advanced materials be opened for the period 2019-2023. The Scientific Council especially appreciates the opportunity to achieve closer correlation between the ongoing theoretical studies and experimental programs at GINR. Then issues related to the PAC for condensed matter physics generally with regard to the considered conceptual project of a research center for proton therapy at GINR, the Scientific Council recognizes the importance of further development of instruments and methods for proton therapy at GINR and supports the idea of assuming a leading role in disseminating the culture of proton therapy in GINR member states. considering the discussed ongoing work on the construction together with the Chinese colleagues of the SC202 therapeutic cyclotron and the current state of Fasotron, the Scientific Council recommends that the GINAR Directorate develop the possibility of implementing a project of a compact research infrastructure for proton therapy at GINAR. Further common issues. The Scientific Council notes the efforts of the University Center in coordination and support of the educational and human resource development programs at GINAR within the concluding theme organization support and development of GINAR educational programs. As part of this theme, one of the main issues and functions of GINAR is being implemented, that of attracting talented young people and partner scientific research organizations of the member states to GINAR. In order to accomplish this, conditions are being created at GINAR to assign bachelor, master and PhD students from member state universities to work on their thesis. Together with GINAR laboratories, the UC organizes and runs student programs of various levels which may attract talented young people and ensure the continuity of GINAR's scientific schools. The Scientific Council considers it important to continue these activities within the framework of the new theme organization support and development of the GINAR Human Resource Program proposed for 2019-2023, enhancing the cooperation with leading universities of the member states to attract young people to work on GINAR's flagship projects. And thank you for your attention. That was all. So I wonder whether you have questions, comments. I don't think it's the case. So then the floor is yours, Boris. The floor and the microphone.
Thank you so much.
Dear Mr. Chairman, dear members of the advisory committee, my duty is to inform you, to give information on the resolution of the GINAR Scientific Council last meeting in September and on the decisions of GINAR Committee of Plenipotentials. It's formal information, but very important. I call for your patience and attention. The session of the Scientific Council took place in September 2018. It was chaired by the GINAR Director, Professor Viktor Matveev, and co-chaired by Professor Katalin Borcia from Holubei National Institute of Physics and Nuclear Engineering, Bucharest, Romania. The agenda, I would say, it's traditional. First of all, the director's report given by Professor Matveev, then the information on progress of implementation of 7-year plan for development of GINAR and its major sections, particle physics, NICA project, nuclear physics, condensed matter physics, and development of engineering infrastructure. A recommendation of all three PACs given by the chairs of respective PACs and reports by young scientists as recommended by the Program Advisory Committee. Then the pleasant part, the awards and prizes and elections and announcement of vacancies of positions in the directorates of GINAR laboratories. First of all, general consideration and resolutions. The Scientific Council took note of the comprehensive report by GINAR Director Professor Matveev covering the priorities of the GINAR development within the current 7-year period, 2017-2023, the main goals of the GINAR research program, the decision of the recent session of GINAR Committee of Planet Potentials and Events in GNR International Cooperation. Scientific Council recognizes the efforts being taken by the GNR Directorate towards achieving the priority goals of scientific research in the major fields of research. And Council emphasizes the importance of consolidating the scope of in-house experiments and of experiments within the framework of international partnership programs with essential contribution being made by the GNR staff. Scientific Council approved the adopted order of priorities in the development of GNR facilities to provide GNR with the necessary basis for maintaining its unique position among the leading physics research centers and for further integrating Joint Institute into the European and global research program. Scientific Council appreciated the NICA complex and the super heavy element factory had been included in the S3 roadmap and in the NUPEC long range plan, and that IBR2 had become a part of European neutron roadmap. Other GNR's flagship programs, the Neutrino Research Project and Kalinin Nuclear Power Plant and Lake Baikal, should also be integrated into the global research infrastructure. Every effort should be made to insert GNR as an element of the European strategy of particle physics in partnership with CERN. Scientific Council welcomed the GNR Directorate's work to develop the Institute's engineering infrastructure, as well as the measures being taken to support the educational activity and to implement the human resources and social policy, considering these activities to be vitally important for achieving GNR's strategic goals. The Scientific Council welcomed GNR increasing international cooperation, in particular strengthening ties with European partners, establishing new partnership with China, and expanding cooperation horizon in Latin America and in Africa. The Scientific Council also noted with satisfaction the training program, GNR expertise for member states and partner countries, so-called GEMS, and the cooperation with research and educational organization of Israel. The Scientific Council expects active participation of GNR and its partners in events to be held within the International Year of Periodic Table of Chemical Elements in 2019, this year. Well, implementation of the GNR 7-year plan for 2017-2023. The Council noted that the high appreciation the reports concerning progress in implementing the 7-year plan for the development of GNR and its major sections presented by the Vice Director Lednitsky, responsible for particle physics and informational technology, Professor Kikilidze, for responsible for NICA project, and Professor Mikhail Itkis, who reported for nuclear physics, and myself for condensed matter and radiation biology. By GNR Chief Engineer Boris Gikal, Development of Engineering Infrastructure and Director of the Educational Program, the Stanislav Pakuliak. The implementation of the 7-year plan further steps. On the whole, the Scientific Council highly appreciated the ongoing efforts to implement the 7-year plan. However, considering the increasing number of new scientific teams and projects reported, Scientific Council stressed that GNR needs to consolidate its research program within the major objectives of the 7-year development plan. Recommendations in connection with the program advisory committees. Scientific Council took note of the recommendations made by respective PACs at their meetings in June 2018, as reported in the sessions by Professor Tsirue, the chairman of the PAC for Particle Physics, Marek Levitovich, chair of the PAC for Nuclear Physics, and Danish Nat, chairman of Auerbach. The Scientific Council requested the GNR Directorate to consider this recommendation while preparing the GNR Topical Plan of Research in International Cooperation for the year 2019. Here you see the respective documents of the PACs. Then the pleasant part of the session of the Scientific Council is reports by the young scientists. And the Scientific Council appreciated the following reports by young scientists, which were recommended by the PACs for presentation of this session. Each PAC recommended one presentation. The reports were given by very nice young people, and scientific reports by young scientists, and council, or Scientific Council thanked the respective speakers. Ariane from Bogolyubov Laboratory, Harchia from Frank Laboratory, and Glebov from Rajonic Biology Laboratory. The Scientific Council welcomes such selection reports in the future. That means in every session there will be reports by the young scientists. Awards and prizes. Scientific Council congratulated Professor Fogli, University from Bari, Italy, and Lisi, INFN Bari, Italy, on the award of Pontecorvo Prize for their pioneering contribution to the development of global analysis of neutrino oscillation data from different experiments, and thanked them for their excellent presentations. Awards and prizes. Further, the Scientific Council approved the jury's recommendation on the award of the Gilepov Prize to Professor Komarov from our institute for his pioneering work on the construction of the first channel for proton therapy at the GNR synchrocyclotron. Further rewards and prizes, Scientific Council congratulated the winners of GNR annual prizes for best papers in the fields of scientific research, instruments and methods, and applied research. Then, it was happened the election of the co-chairman of the Scientific Council, and Scientific Council elected Professor Catalin Borcea, as I already said, from Bucharest, Romania, as the co-chairman of the Scientific Council for a term of 3 years. Elections and announcement of vacancies in the directorates of GNR laboratories. The Scientific Council agreed with the proposal made by the GNR director, Professor Matveev, to postpone the election of the director of the Fleurov laboratory, previously announced for September 2018, by 1.5 years, until the next session of the 127th session of the Scientific Council, which will happen in February 2020. According to the regulations, a new election date will be announced at the next session of Scientific Council in February 2019. That means in forthcoming session of Scientific Council. Elections of and announcement of the vacancies in the directorates of GNR laboratories. The Scientific Council elected Professor Vadim Bednyakov as director of Gilepov laboratory for a second term of 5 years. The Scientific Council announced the vacancies of positions of Gilepov deputy directors. The endorsement of appointments will take place at the next session of Scientific Council, again in February 2019. Then elections of the and announcement of vacancies in the directorates of other GNR laboratories. Scientific Council endorsed the appointment of Otilia Kulikov, Norbert Kucherka, and Igor Lecharin as deputy directors of the Frank Laboratory of Neutron Physics until the completion of the term of office of the director of Valery Shvetsov. Elections and announcement of vacancies of the director for GNR laboratories. The Scientific Council endorsed the appointment of Busha and Tatiana Strish as deputy directors of Laboratory of Information Technologies until the completion of the term of office of director of this laboratory, Vladimir Korenkov. The Scientific Council announced the vacancy of the third deputy director in this laboratory. The endorsement of appointment will take place in the next session of Scientific Council in February again. Then, the Scientific Council announced the vacancies of positions of the directorates of Wechsler and Baldwin Laboratory of High Energy Physics and the Laboratory of Radiation Biology. The election will take place in the 126th session of the Scientific Council in September this year. Now I come to the session of the GNR Committee of Plenipotentials. A regular session of the Committee of Plenipotentials of the governments of the GNR member states was held in Bucharest, this time in Romania, on 19-20 November 2018. It was chaired by the representative of the Russian Federation and the committee Professor Grigory Trubnikov. The agenda was very dense. It was started with the GNR director's report, Professor Matveev, draft budget of GNR for the year 2019, draft budget for the use of 2019 of the special purpose funds of Russian Federation provided for NICA project, results of the meeting of GNR Finance Committee, results of audit of GNR Financial Committee for the year 2016, and changes in the membership of the GNR Scientific Council, status of agreements with associated states, preparation of agreements with France and other states and countries, and main trends, challenges, and future development of IT in our institute. Decisions. Director's report. Concerning the report presented by GNR Director Professor Matveev, the Committee of Plenary Potential took note of the information presented by the Directorate and the progress of implementation of the GNR research program in year 2018 and on the priorities of GNR activities for 2019, this year. It also approved the recommendation of the 133rd and 24th sessions of Scientific Council and the GNR Topical Plan of Research and International Cooperation for present year 2019. With respect to director's report, the committee highly appreciated the efforts of GNR Directorate to develop GNR's flagship research programs, in particular, noted the progress towards construction of the NICA Collider Complex, as well as the official opening of MPD and BMATN international collaborations, and the holding of two collaboration meetings of the MPD and BMATN experiments. Then, commended the efforts being taken towards the timely completion of the construction, licensing, and commissioning of the factory of superheavy elements, as well as the plans of the first test experiments. And then welcomes the steps being taken towards the better coordination of the nuclear physics program and towards implementation of priorities in this area in a more concentrated and efficient manner. Further, committee noted with satisfaction the progress of the research program in the field of condensed matter physics, our field, which includes, among other things, the development of the concept for a new source of neutrons at GNR, replacing the present operational IBR-2 reactor after completion of its exploitation, as well as the signing of the letter of intent concerning the establishment of a laboratory for structural research and of macromolecules and new materials at the Solaris synchrotron in the Jagiellonian University in Krakow. And they welcomed the launching in 2018 of the supercomputer Gavarón, which has taken a prominent place in the international ratings of computing systems. Further, the committee highlighted the progress achieved by GNR in integrating its basic facilities into the global research infrastructure programs, in particular the inclusion of NICA complex, Xi factory, and IBR2 reactor in S3 strategy report on research infrastructure presented in the September in Vienna. Commissioned and the GNR directorate to present the to the committee session in the March 2019 an analysis of implementation of the schedules of the NICA mega project, Xi factory and Baikal project. Noted with satisfaction the directorate attention to the analysis of the implementing the 7-year plan for development of GNR in the period 2017-2023. And the committee stressed the importance of consolidating GNR research program with the major objectives of the 7-year plan and of concentrating efforts on the in-house experiments. Further, the committee supported the proposal of the GNR director to establish a science and engineering council for innovations with the participation of representative of GNR member states and to submit proposal on the concept of GNR's innovation policy to the next session in March 2019. Then committee commissioned the GNR directorate to prepare a plan of activities dedicated to the 2019 International Year of Periodic Table of Chemical Elements, especially in the GNR member states and in states participating in GNR under agreements of science and technology cooperation. And committee supported the directorate efforts aiming at popularizing the achievements of GNR and implementing its educational program. It drew special attention of the directorate to the need to further enhance the awareness of the scientific community of the member states about the flagship programs of GNR and about the opportunities to participate in collaborations around its major projects. Financial issues, very important part of this session. Considering the report draft budget of the GNR for year 2019, and draft contributions of the member states for the year 2020, 21, and 22, presented by Mikhail Vasiliev, deputy head of the GNR Finance and Economy Office, the committee approved the GNR budget for year 2019 with the total income and expenditure amounting to 232.11 US dollar million and the scale of contributions of the member state for this year. And approved the contribution of the member states for 2019 and the payment of contribution areas of the member states for this year. The council determined the provisional volumes for the GNR budget in income and expenditures for the year 2020 amounting in 208.53 million US dollar for the year 2029 amounting in US dollar million US dollar 212.50 million US dollar and for the year 2020 amounting 217.65 million US dollar, as well as the provisional amounts of the member states' contributions for respective years. Allows the GNR directorate to index the salary and tariff parts of the compensation package of the staff members, taking into account the possibilities afforded by the GNR budget in 2019. In accordance with the GNR collective bargaining agreement for the years 2017-2020. Then, concerning the report draft budget for the use in 2019 of the special purpose funds of the Russian Federation provided in accordance with the agreement between government of Russian Federation and our institute on the construction and exploitation of the Nika complex of superconducting rings for heavy iron colliding beams. It was presented by Professor Kikilidze, director of the respective laboratory, and Professor Lednitsky, vice director of GNR. And the committee approved the budget for the use of 2019 of the Russian special funds allocated for the Nika project in amount 2.31 billion ruble, and took note of the information of the general directorate of the Nika mega project management about the measures aimed at ensuring the effective use of the budget funds of GNR and of the special purpose funds of Russian Federation allocated for Nika, as well as reducing the delay emerging over the past year in the planned construction of Nika complex facilities. Financial release further. Concerning the report results of the meeting of the GNR Financial Committee held on in November 2018, presented by Svetlomira Kharizanova, chairperson of the Finance Committee, the committee approved the protocol of this meeting on Financial Committee, approved the regulations for the introduction of the adjustment of the GNR budget. The committee commissioned the directorate to finalize the draft procedure for the offset of costs of supplies and equipment, instruments, materials, services, and individual work on the institute's order against payment of a GNR member state's contribution, to prepare a new version of the draft regulation on research and educational programs for GNR's cooperation with scientific organizations and universities of GNR member states, and to enhance this regulation from 1st January 2020, and to prepare drafts on the update documents regulating GNR purchasing activities. Concerning the report results of the audit of the financial activities of GNR performed for the year 2017 and analysis of implementation by GNR Directorate of the Plan of Activities resulting from the audit and the financial activities of GNR performed for the year 2016, it was presented by the chair of the audit company Korsakov, director of the audit company Korsakov and Partners, and the committee took note of the auditor's reports concerning the GNR financial activities in the respective year and approved the accounting report of the GNR for the year 2017. Now, the membership of the Scientific Council. Concerning the report, changes in the membership of the GNR Scientific Council, presented by Professor Alexander Sorin, Chief Scientific Secretary of GNR, the committee took note of the inclusion in the membership of GNR Scientific Council, Professor Boris Gurinov, from State Fund for Fundamental Research of Ukraine, Kyiv, appointed the plenary potentiary of the government of Ukraine, and Lavrie Lashvili from the Tbilisi, Georgia, the Mathematical Institute, and appointed by the plenary potentiary of the government of Georgia to replace the Ilyashvili, the two new members of the Scientific Council. The international cooperation. Concerning the report, status of agreements with associate states and preparation of the agreements with France and other states, presented by Dr. Kamanian, deputy head of the GNR Scientific Science Organization International Cooperation Office, the Council commended the efforts of the GNR Directorate to elevate the status of Egypt, Serbia, and of South Africa to full member of states of GNR, as well as the current work to prepare a cooperation agreement with the government of France. The committee took note of the delay in extending the cooperation agreement with Germany and of a success of the GNR Directorate in developing cooperation with Italy, of the ongoing work towards restoring the status of Hungary in GNR, and ongoing efforts towards attracting India, Brazil, and other states to our institute. This scientific report was given by Professor Vladimir Korenkov, the director of Laboratory Lit, for his informative presentation of the main trends, challenges, and future developments of information technology. The proposal by the POND plenipotentiary committee supported the proposal of the government of the Republic Poland, Professor Woligurski, to name one of the alleys on the site of the Laboratory of Nuclear Problems in honor of the academician Andrzej Hrinkiewicz, the famous Polish scientist. The appreciation, the committee expressed gratitude to the organizer this meeting of the council of the of planning potentially of the governments of Romania for the high quality preparation and conduct of this session in Bucharest. It was really a very well organized meeting. Here I finish my report and thank you for attention.
Thank you so much, Boris, for this impressive presentation. I wonder whether there are comments or questions. This does not seem to be the case. As usual, I would say thank you once again. Usually, as you remember, to this first two presentations, we have almost never have questions and comments. In contrast, in the rest of the morning session, where we have presentations about the status of the neutron scattering research, there will be four presentations, two before the coffee break and two after the coffee break. Please feel invited to make questions and comments. At an appropriate time will be allotted, something like 5 to 10 minutes after the presentations. So the next presentation will be given by Professor Švitsov, the IBR status report. So please, Valery. Floor is yours.
Good morning, dear Mr. Chairman, dear ladies and gentlemen. Today I'd like to inform you about the situation current situation with IBER2. I will report the results of machine operation in 2018 and will try to give the analysis of of the problems which we met during 2018, and I will try to explain you how we are going to resolve this situation which we get. So right now the IBER2, и may I ask you, можно я вас попросить кликнуть по этой картинке, чтобы запустилась по графику прямо. Okay, it doesn't work properly as I would like to do. But this is a window of our web monitor of IBR2 power. At that moment, at least 40 minutes ago, the picture looks like that. Our reactor is working normally. We have started our cycle on January 14, and we are planning to finish our cycle, first cycle of year 2019 in the end of January, around here, that was the end of January 27. So what I would like to tell you is the operation of IBER2 in 2018, our plans on upgrading the major component of technological equipment which was not replaced during the modernization of reactor, A significant part of my talk will be devoted to the investigation and research led by the nuclear safety group of our laboratory on the dynamics and of IBR2 reactor during its operation and the results of this research and consequences for our normal life, and then conclusion. So IBR2 operation in the year 2018, I cannot call it was a successful example of our operation. From nine cycles, you see here nine cycles, but two of them are missed. We are forced to cancel the cycles due to technical reasons, which I will explain later. And also, in the cycles which we have, not all the cycles were completed normally. For example, cycle number three also was cut just after a few days of starting its operation. So the results in total, we had only 1,500 hours in year 2018 of reactor operation instead of 2,500 hours normally, which we have. The table which describes all these failures and problems which we had. So the number of emergency shutdowns of the reactor. The total number of emergency shutdowns is four. Two of them were later, I will explain what they will do. And also you see we have started operation in year 2018 with average power of 2 megawatt, but coming to the end of the year, we decreased the power to the level of 1.7, 1.8 megawatt. Also, I will explain why we did this in my final part of my talk. So, some explanation of the shutdowns. So, in March, we have stopped due to malfunction of the control circuit of one of the electromagnetic sodium pump in the primary cooling loop of our reactor. All the critical systems have double reservation. So we have two another sodium pumps which can serve for the same purpose. But in case of malfunction of one of them, we cannot continue operation. We can just shut down the reactor normally with the second pump, and after we have to start operation again with two working pumps in the loop. These pumps were not replaced since the construction of the reactor in end of 70s, and now we see that now it's time already to replace this equipment. In spite of some of them are still working normally. We have plan. I also will tell about our plan on exchanging this equipment, and we will replace these pumps sooner or in the nearest, not so nearest, but in the future. In May, during one day, first we had emergency shutdown due to the power supply failure at our power supply station here at the GNR, which is connected to the city of Dubna power network. And if something happens in the city, and it was the situation, some failure, some accident happened in the city of Dubna, but it results to temporary short-term shutdown of electricity on the territory of the GNR, and our reactor was stopped. We restored very fast, in a few hours, but then during the night, the personnel of IBR2 recognize due to the by technical meanings, they found that in one of the loops, sodium loops of in our secondary sodium loop, in the air sodium heat exchanger, they have found we have a leak, and we lost several tens liters of liquid sodium. There were no fire, were no special alarms. This loop is completely clean, it's not non-radioactive, it's secondary loop. So the consequences was only long-term stopping of our reactor. It happened in May, you see it's May 16, May night, it was already May 19. It took us about 3 months to find the place where leak happened to clean all the heat exchanger. And the heat exchanger itself, it's a huge column, about 10 meters height column with a cross section of about 70 by 50 centimeters. And a huge amount of copper pipe which goes along this column, and this column is heated by the gas in order to keep sodium liquid. So 3 months it took us to find the place of the leak, to cut carefully this portion of the copper tube, to send this copper tube to the special organization for technical expertise, and they did this expertise and discover the reason of this leak, and we repaired this heat exchanger in the end of August, and then sent several kilos of technical documentation and technical reports to our regulatory bodies, to Rostechnadzor, and we waited almost 2 months for permission to continue restore our operation. And we have restored our operation in the very end of October, in the beginning of November. So it was serious consequences, and due to that, we have lost these two cycles. And the last shutdown happened in December. It was also temporary short-term power failure, again outside the GNR, but at that time we recovered very fast. And this cycle was 18 days. So we already have started to compensate the lost time for the users. The last two cycles in November, December, they were extended more than 2 weeks than which we are usually have for our cycles. In short, the main results are that we lost many time of operation, and I hope for my scientific secretary Dorota Khudoba will report about the consequences for the user program. Of course, we cannot fulfill all user requests due to these shutdowns. Nevertheless, we have some successes also during this year. Cycles number 2 and number 4 were fulfilled with a cryogenic moderator operation, cryogenic moderator 202. And this cryogenic moderator first was tested with new cryocooler Linde, which we installed and mounted during the previous time. And the results will be shown later, few next slides. Also, in December of year 2018, we have completed, not we, our contractors at Votkinsk Machinery Enterprise, our contractors have finished construction of the spare movable reflector number 3. This reflector is ready. It was accepted by our specialist, which went to this Votkinsk machinery. And now this equipment is prepared for transportation. The total weight is about 70 tons, so it's not so easy to transport here. During the year 2019, we will install this mobile reflector on our stand, and we will test and we will check it. And by the end of year 2019, this mobile reflector will be ready for installation at the reactor, in case of necessity. I'd like to remind you that this mobile reflector is just the spare part, because our current mobile reflector, which is operating, the lifetime is enough until the end of the service life lifetime of our reactor. But in case of some troubles with our mobile reflector, the whole cycle of producing the new one is about 5 years. So if we will not have this spare part, we will lose 5 years. So we are just keeping this spare part in case of necessity. Also, some technical works have been done during the year. We replaced two sections of power supply, two sections of the switchboards of power supply at the building of reactor. And the next two sessions are scheduled for next year and future years. Now we are replacing the water cooling system, the water recycling cooling system. The new type of heat exchanger will be installed instead of the water tower which we had before. It will be modern cooler. And also very important part in life of IBR2 happened in October after we get the permission from Rostechnadzor continue operation after this malfunction of our cooling system. We loaded new fresh fuel cassette to the IBR2 in order to compensate the fuel burnout that happens since year 2018 when we started the operation. So, cryogenic moderators. I told you two cycles were done with cryogenic moderator. With new machine, we were able to decrease the temperature in moderator chamber from 30 Kelvin to approximately 20 Kelvin, 22 Kelvin, and the corresponding increase and gain in the neutron flux density. It's an example from one of our beam lines, approximately 20% with cryogenic moderator. Also, we got the second stage of our cryogenic moderator 201, from the manufacturer, and our specialist fitted this moderator on place at the reactor. As usually during the fitting of such a complicated technical construction in a very complicated and narrow space, we have found some problems, and we marked these problems and sent our remarks back to the manufacturer in order to correct the design of the moderator. The acceptance after correction we are awaiting in May 2018, and we will make fitting of the corrected cryogenic moderator in June-July 2018. And commissioning, our optimistic vision is to have both cryogenic and warm moderator in September-November 2018. But our realistic is that we will have moderator installed in the warm mode, and with cryogenic we can start in the next year. So, major equipment upgrade, and so during this year I mentioned what we done with the upgrade of the equipment. For the next year, we have scheduled the replacement of another sections of the switchboard of power supply at IBR2. We will prepare technical specification, and we will make the design works on replacement of some different electrical switchboards and ventilation controls at IBR2. We will start the replacement of the filters in the special ventilation, and we will continue this work until year 22. So during the 4 years, because it's rather complicated and expensive work, that the total cost of these special filters replacement is about 40 million rubles for the 4 years. And also, finally, we will realize existing project, prepared project for the backup power supply line for IBR2, from the building 117 of IBR2 to the building of one of the buildings of Gelepo Laboratory of Nuclear Problems. The total amount of money which we will spend for these purposes in the next year for IBR2 is about slightly higher than one mega dollar. And also for the years until 26, we have very detailed plan, annual plans for replacement of the equipment. And these components which were responsible for troubles during this year, we are planning to replace also in the year 24 and in year 23, the heat exchangers and sodium pumps. We cannot do that earlier because it's rather complicated work. We have to design the new pumps. We have to design the new heat exchangers. We cannot just repeat the existing design because we do not have the manufacturers at present which were responsible for making this equipment. So it's complicated work, and we cannot complete it earlier. The total finances which we will ask for that, for our budget, is about $6 million for this time period, which is mentioned here. Now I will come in. I'm coming to the question of research investigation of the dynamics of the power feedback at our reactor. The materials provided by the group of nuclear safety of our laboratory. So IBR2 is a complicated dynamical system with many sources of noise. MOBU reflectors are just one of the components from here. Also, we have water moderators with a constant water flow through water moderators, changing the temperature, changing the velocity, the flow rate, and making some vibrations. Also, we have stationary reflectors around the reactor, marked with number 2, which are responsible for changing the slow change of the criticality of the reactor. Also, we have the control rods, blocks of the reactor protection system, the emergency system, which will shut down the reactor in case of emergency. It's also mobile blocks of reflectors. And we have fuel assemblies. We have fuel assemblies. We have cold moderators. We have control rods, these control blocks. And we have 2 mobile reflectors. And we have sodium coolant flow in through the core, again, with the temperature, with the flow rate, and with the corresponding vibration of the assemblies, of the fuel assemblies during reactor operation. And when we are talking about reactor operation at power 2 megawatt, it doesn't mean that if every one single pulse corresponds to the average power 2 megawatt. This is an example. This is a one cycle, 10 days, 11 days of operation. This line is 2 megawatt. And this is the amplitude of the single pulses during its operation. You see the deviation is rather big, and the sigma of this fluctuation is about 100 kilowatt from this 2 megawatt average power. And the peaks are coming here. So it's a normal routine operation of our reactor. And all these fluctuations, they are not randomly distributed on the frequency scale. If you will look onto the frequency scale, how frequently happens these or those fluctuations, we will find that we have, so we cannot measure fluctuations higher than one half of the period of our reactor. Because at that moment, at the frequency 2.5 hertz, the secondary reflector, auxiliary reflector passes across the core. So we have only 100 millisecond time period to measure the frequency range. And this shaded region, we found that these vibrations, these fluctuations in power, in pulse power, are due to vibrations of our mobile reflectors, main and auxiliary mobile reflectors. But also we have this gray region, shaded in gray, with very low frequency range from 0 to 0.26 hertz. And this is a result of operation of our automatic power controller. So the power, pulse power, start to change in this range due to some reasons, and automatic power controller returns it back. And it starts some kind of fluctuations, automatic fluctuations, and it lasts during several minutes maybe. And after, everything again is calmed down. And the corresponding frequency is not higher than 0.26 hertz. So it's very slow processes. It's seconds and many seconds time scale of these processes. This is the evolution of the spectral density. This spectral density is one single shot for one single period of time, for several seconds of time. This is the spectral distribution. If you will look to this spectra in time, so this is again during one cycle until 80 day. This is namely, it's long cycle in December of last year. 18 days operation. And again, this is frequency. This is due to the mobile reflector. And this is due to fluctuation, some other fluctuations, low frequency. And you see some dynamics during the cycle. At the beginning of the cycle, we have fluctuation, power fluctuation due to vibration of Moore reflector, then it decreases, and then in the end of cycle increase again. So it's some internal life of our complicated system, which we only can observe from outside. And we are doing that, observing. If we will look to the same picture, but at larger time scale, from 2011 to 2018, to the left, it's a full scale in frequency from 0 to 2.5 hertz, and here, low frequency region from 0 to 0.5 hertz. This is a low frequency pulse fluctuations, and this is a total. And you see that when the reactor was fresh, we almost didn't have this low frequency fluctuations in the power. After producing several hundred megawatt per day energy generation, after getting this level, this oscillation, this fluctuation have started. I could tell the picture is the same as for the first IBR2 reactor. At our first IBR2 reactor, we have seen the same picture. But at that time, we didn't have, in the time of our first reactor, we didn't have such a comprehensive and very good control system in order to detect all this fluctuation and to write it down during long period of time. So at that time, in the end of 90s, when we have found this picture, it was made the decision, if you remember, some of you maybe remember, in the end of 90s, it was made the decision to decrease the power of IBR2 from 2 megawatt average power to 1.5 megawatt average power. And one of the reasons, and main reason, was that reason, that we have discovered some fluctuations of power which we cannot understand and we cannot reduce them, we cannot operate by them, so it was decided to decrease the power level and to increase the flow rate of the sodium coolant, because it was found that at lower power fluctuation are lower, and at higher flow rate of the sodium coolant also lower. Where we are sitting at that present moment, this graph are dispersion of the maximum amplitude of the low frequency pulse power oscillation. It's the upper amplitude of the pulse, deviation from 2 megawatt average. So 30 kilowatt plus, 60 kilowatt plus, 90 kilowatt, and 120 kilowatt. You remember this Gaussian with sigma equal to 100 and 10 kilowatt. So this is the present picture. And as I mentioned, at about 600 about 600 megawatt per day energy generation, it started, and now we come here. In some cycles, we have deviation almost 100 kilowatt. In some cycles, it's about 30 kilowatt. We do not know how these cycles are differ one from each other. At the same period, in the last year, in some cycles, we have such fluctuations. In some cycles, we have. The question, how far we are from the safety margins of operation? The answer is here. We are very far from the safety margin, because our reactor safety margin, the peak power pulse, the peak power of one single pulse could be twice higher than the normal pulse. That means it could correspond to 2 megawatt plus to the normal power. That means 4 megawatt could be peak power. We are sitting here. But except of the peak power, we have also average power of the reactor limitation. And we will have frequently such a high amplitude pulses, except of it's not very good for physicists, of course, but it will also increase slightly the average power of the reactor, and we can reach the limitation on the average power, and we will have shutdowns due to that reason. So the conclusion is similar to the conclusion which have been done by my predecessors in late 90s. I explain you. This effect starts after approximately 600 megawatt per day and comes to saturation. Now this is a saturation. We produce about 1300 megawatt day electric power at IBR2, and the effect is saturated. But we cannot wait at the same power level where it will go as 20 years ago. So these fluctuations at that moment are totally within the limits and very far from the margins of safe operation. Nevertheless, in order to ensure the long-term operation of the reactor, we will provide the following safety measures. So average power of our reactor will be reduced for experimental cycle to 1.7 megawatt. And the flow rate will be increased to at least 100 cubic meters per hour. We have some reserve for this parameter. We have 10% reserve in increasing the flow rate. So 110 cubic meters we can increase in case of necessity the flow rate. Also, the pulse power fluctuations during every reactor cycle will be recorded carefully for every single pulse, and we will collect all this database of these fluctuations. And we will continue the investigation, we will continue research and modeling of the reactor, and we will involve into this activity the chief designer of the IBR2 reactor, Nikiet, at larger scale than we had at the moment. And in order to fulfill the demands from the user community, and depending on the progress in this investigation, we will increase the duration of the reactor cycles since year 2019 in order to compensate the lack of neutrons due to decreasing of the power. And we are starting from the next year. In the year 2019, if we will look to the reactor schedule, which is published on the web, we are planning to operate about 3,000 hours, maybe slightly more than 3,000 hours, instead of 2,500 as usual. So that's all which I would like to tell you about the status of the reactor, and thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much, Valery, for this impressive talk. I didn't want to interrupt you because it was much longer than expected, but I think that it was really important that the PAC has now an insight to the problems and the conditions of IBR2. Nevertheless, I would like to ask you to raise right now only very urgent questions and postpone the rest to the coffee break and to the general discussion. But if you have some, then please, don't hesitate. Yeah, Pavel, please.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay. Yeah, maybe I don't understand something important, but the question is why you correspond the fluctuation of the power of the pulse with average power of the reactor? Why not with peak power of the pulse?
The same question I asked to my chief of nuclear safety group. I told him why we are responding this 100 kilowatt fluctuation to 2 megawatt, not to 2 gigawatt, which we have. For 2 gigawatt, it's negligible. It's less than 0.1%. He told me, no. Look, we are looking for the energy release in one single period. So in between pulses, they are looking for energy release. And this energy release is determined by average energy. So they cannot refer to the peak power. They are doing with the real energy released in the peak.
From physical point of view, for me, it looks a little bit strange. But okay, it's your way.
I can tell frankly, I will also continue discussions with them. I took this answer as, you know, this conservative approach. In all nuclear installations, they are using conservative approach. They are something like that. But it's many orders of reserve here.
Thank you very much. I'm
thank you once again. And let me invite the next speaker, Denis Kozlenko, Condensed Matter Research at IBA2, overview of main scientific results and instrumentation developments. So please, Denis, floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Dear members of Program Advisory Committee, dear colleagues, in my talk, I will present you the status of current research of condensed matter and instrumentation development at IBA2 high-flux pulsed reactor. I start with mentioning of priority directions of scientific research, which are physics and chemistry of novel functional materials, physics of nanosystems and nanoscale phenomena, physics and chemistry of complex liquids and polymers, molecular biology and pharmacology, and also materials and engineering science. I will start now from presentation of study of novel functional solid materials. As many of you know, one of the routes for synthesis of new materials is synthesis under extreme conditions, elevated pressures and temperatures. And recently, a new material, a novel form of quite a simple, from one point of view, binary oxide manganese 2O3, has been synthesized.
Oh, sorry. Can you speak a bit louder, please, Denis?
Okay. So recently, a novel form of quite a simple binary oxide manganese 2O3 has been synthesized under extreme conditions. It appears that its structure is quite complex. You can see here it's enlarged about four times at every direction in crystal structure with respect to simple perovskite structures. And the novel properties of this compound has been explored. It appears that it formed quite unusual magnetic ordering structures with a complex modulation of orientation of magnetic moments. And there are two magnetic states. Firstly, magnetic order starts at 100 K, and another transition with modification of long-range magnetic order evolves at 50 K. It appears that low temperature phase is ferroelectrically active, so it contains multiferroic phenomena, and spin-induced ferroelectric polarization exhibits a very strong magnetoelectric effect. As you can see here, when we apply magnetic field and increase it up to about 11 Tesla, the ferroelectric polarization can be controlled and reduced in about twice. And a relevant paper has been published in the Nature Communications Journal. Another interesting problem is in current condensed matter physics is a study of low-dimensional magnetic system, because they often demonstrate unusual phenomena, different types of magnetic properties, unusual ground states. And one of the interesting systems, so-called system with quasi-one-dimensional magnetism, where magnetic atoms are arranged in linear chains. And one of the recently discovered model compounds is such complex oxide, calcium 3 cobalt 2 O6. In this system, the magnetic cobalt ions are formed such a chain along one of the directions of the crystal structure. So the distance between atoms is small, and the neighboring chains are quite distant from each other, so magnetic phenomena are governed just by linear chains. It appears that at very low temperature, about 25 K, a complex magnetic order in this system is formed, which is described by so-called density, spin density wave approach. It's incommensurate. And in order to study how these magnetic properties are developed under variation of interatomic distances and angles, high-pressure experiments has been performed. And a structural magnetic phase transition has been observed to another magnetic state, which is commensurate with a large change of the spin arrangement. And in addition, the approaches of the mean field approximation to the study of such materials has been performed. And it was found that mean field approximation allows to describe the magnetic properties of these types of the system with a quite a good approach. And a relevant paper has been published in Physical Review B journal. Another interesting case of the research was a well-known structural phase transition from body-centered to phase-centered form of iron. As you know, iron is a very widespread material and its properties are studied for many decades. And interesting microstructural phenomena has been found in experiments at the study of this phase transition. It appears that when iron undergoes this phase transition in bulk form, it realizes via unusual microstructural state. You can see here that diffraction lines from the initial body-centered phase disappear in this case, and new lines of another crystalline phase, phase-centered iron, appear just after a gap of about 20 degrees. And in this gap, a very strange state is formed. It can be either amorphous state or very nanocrystalline state, so which produces no diffraction peaks. And so you can see it's quite unusual form of this phase transformation, which has not been observed previously. But if you take usual powdered sample, then a phase transition undergoes in normal way. Volume fraction of initial phases decreases, and another phase starts to increase immediately. А у вас там свистело? Там свистело, поэтому я удалил. And so the relevant paper has been published at JTP Letters Journal. Another research case was a study of intermetallic iron-aluminium alloys with addition of chromium. These alloys are used in different technologies and their properties depend significantly on the case of the disordering of iron and aluminium, and in this case also chromium, atoms in the structure. There is a sequence of the phase transitions of heating from partially disordered simple cubic phase designed here as B2, then to nearly fully ordered phase, then iron and aluminium are nearly fully ordered in the structure, phase-centered D03 phase, then back to B2 partially disordered phase, and to the completely disordered phase A2. This phase diagram has been explored in real-time experiments upon heating and cooling, and in particular features of microstructural states formed has been analyzed. It appears that in this case, in the disordered matrix, ordered clusters are formed in this phase consequence of phase transitions. They depend on the state of the material, so has been it cooled or warmed or not. And also the cluster size depends strongly on the concentration of chromium in this system. In particular, a factor of the occupation of iron of the different crystallographic sites in the structure has been analyzed, which is varied upon disorder in this system. And a relevant paper has been recently accepted to Physical Review Materials Journal. Now I come to soft matter and interface system. As continuation of the research studies of magnetic fluids in bulk, these experiments has been continued for the cases of interfaces. In particular, interface of magnetic fluid placed on silicon substrate, and which is placed also in external magnetic field, which was oriented in perpendicular to the substrate, has been analyzed. Quite an interesting phenomenon has been observed. Then applied magnetic fields were not very strong, less than about 30 millitesla. Then it appears that the distribution of scattering density in this magnetic fluid layer is quite uniform, and there is nothing special inside. But then the magnetic field increases above some critical value, about 30 millitesla. You can see new features in the reflectivity curve appears, and they attributed to the complex structural organization of this layer. In this case, two sublayers are formed inside with different sizes of magnetic fluid aggregates. So this layer becomes non-uniform. And features of these states has been analyzed at atomic scale. A relevant paper has been accepted for publication in the Applied Surface Science Journal. A study of electric current sources has been also continued. In many of such sources, the electrodes are introduced in the form of interfaces, and these interfaces are in contact with liquid electrolyte materials. And one of the problems which materials demonstrate is the deposition of sodium-lithium, solid-lithium interface, which influence significantly on the performance and properties of these electric current sources, and introduces different defects and reduces lifetimes. In order to overcome this problem, different additives to these systems are added to improve the performance of these sources. And one of the prospective additives is so-called tetrabutyl ammonium perchlorate, and how it modifies the processes on the operation of such current sources has been analyzed by neutron reflectometry at the Lagrange reflectometer. You can see here reflectivity curves. It appears that additive of this material reduced significantly the deposition of solid electrolyte interface and in particular lithium deposition. And so it's indeed appear to be a very good approach for improvement of such electric current sources. And the relevant paper has been published in the Colloid Surfaces A journal. Also, research in the field of diamond nanoparticle systems has been continued. In this case, complex system which nanoparticles are added to pneumatic liquid crystals has been studied. In this case, it's possible to modify the mechanical and optical properties and some other physical properties of liquid crystal suspensions based on it. You can see here that upon increase of the concentration of nanodiamond particles, quite a complex structural organization appears in this system. First, nanodiamond particles form linear aggregates with a dimension about 1, and upon increase of the concentration, these linear aggregates are formed in two-dimensional complex fractal aggregates, and their dimension changed to 2. And different parameters of this system has been also analyzed. The relevant paper has been submitted to Material Science Today Proceedings journal. The proximity effects in the layered magnetic superconducting nanostructures has been also analyzed, a special system comprising of quite a thick niobium superconducting layer of 70 nanometers, on which a ferromagnetic layer composed by alloy of nickel and copper, which is about 1 order of magnitude Cine of 6.5 nanometers, has been analyzed. It appears that the temperature lowers just below the superconducting temperature. We have a partial penetration of superconducting state from niobium towards the ferromagnetic layer, but it decays significantly when we go away from the superconducting layer. But at some intermediate temperature in the region of superconducting state, about 4.5 K, unusual state was observed. In this case, superconductivity has been fully formed in the ferromagnetic layer. And in order to explain this phenomenon, it was supposed that superparamagnetic clusters are formed inside a ferromagnetic layer, which compensate external magnetic field. And due to resonance reflections of superconducting pairs from the border of this layer, superconducting state penetrates fully in ferromagnetic layer. One of the prospective systems for replacement of polyethylene glycols for medical treatment is polyethyl and polypropyl sazolin polymer systems. Because polyethylene glycol has some not very good parameters for preparation of some medical components, and it also negatively affects some properties of the blood in human bodies. And promising systems are this polyethyl and polypropyl oxazolin, which are biocompatible. And the model system for biomedical treatment is such a complex star-shaped polyethyl and polyisopropyl oxazolin with central T-alex fragments, which chemical content is shown here. And its structural organization has been studied by a combination of small-angle neutron scattering and also atomic force microscopy. You can see here atomic force images where distribution over particles formed by this in this polymer system by size has been obtained. And I should note that this is one of the first experiments performed with our in-laboratory installed atomic force microscope. And in order to analyze structural organization in more detail at nanoscale level, two sets of experiments were performed. Small-angle neutron scattering experiments has been performed at IBA2 in Dubna, but it appears that due to complex organization formed inside these systems. Additional ultrasound experiments has been performed at FRM2 reactor in Garching in Germany. It appears that in this case, in this nanosystem, such linear aggregates are formed by nanoparticles, and these aggregates formed such a star-shaped fractal objects. It appears that linear sizes has an average size of about 4 nanometer, and the total shape of these objects, star-shaped objects, is about 11 nanometers. And a relevant paper has been published in Colloid and Polymer Science Journal. Quite a good, interesting work on study of magnetic dynamics has been performed at the reactor. As you well know, for many years it was not many studies of magnetic excitation in materials at our reactor, but recently by efforts of Dr. Gremychkin, study of complex hexaboride system, goldmium boron 12, isotopic boron isotope 11 has been studied. And combination of AO2 in elastic neutron scattering instruments has been used. DIN2PI direct geometry spectrometer has been used for analyze the low energy transfer range. You can see here that low energy excitation with energy about less than 1 millielectron volt has been fixed very well. And for study with a good accuracy, magnetic excitations and intermediate energy transfers around about 10 millielectron volts. Near spectrometer has been used. You can see here that low energy excitation is not visible here. It merges into elastic line, but intermediate range excitations are well visible. And the combination of all this information allowed to restore with a very good accuracy the crystal field effective potential for goldmium atoms in this system. And these experiments has been proved by modeling using a mean field approach, and a good agreement has been obtained between experiments and theory. Now I come to applied research. As you know, one of the modern additive technologies well developed now is 3D printing technologies. And one of the approaches to use selective laser melting for these reasons. In this case, it's possible to create quite a complex metallic objects from the powdered metallic substances. Here you can see an example of the complex 3D sample prepared by this selective laser melting procedure from powder steel 304. This is austenitic steel. And important question occurs, how this laser melting procedure affects the distribution of defect in such objects, because it will finally affect the operation of them. And so the texture and strain and stresses mechanical distribution in different directions of this system has been studied. You can see here that there is a quite a strong texture. You can see intensities of diffraction lines measured at different sites of this object. So we have quite a strong texture inside used by this laser melting. But nevertheless, the strain distribution is not quite anisotropic, and the level is not high. But regarding stress, you can see that stresses at site 3 of this object is quite elevated. And this data will be taken into account after further modification of this process to release more uniform deformed state at this selective laser melting procedure. Also, geophysical research based on texture analysis has been performed. A crystallographic preferred orientations of eclogites obtained from so-called subduction zones, which are formed in the places of collision of continents many years ago, has been analyzed for the earthwork of eclogite. In particular, some minerals comprising this earthwork has been analyzed, like amphoxite. And from preferred orientations, reconstruction of geophysical processes in your core has been considered. And a paper has been published in Journal of Structural Geology. Also, neutron entomography studies of cultural heritage objects has been studied. New work which has been started is a study of ancient Slavic axes. It appears that the technologies of the their preparation are different for different Slavic folks, which has been lived many years ago. And the idea was to reconstruct the technologies they used, and for this reason, the internal structure of several objects is under study. You can see one of the examples of such a node Slavic axis dated to 10th century. And this is a tomography 3D reconstruction. A number of defects has been observed in this studied object. And later, this internal organization will be compared with another materials from the series we study. And results will be taken into account by archaeologists for reconstruction of technologies for preparation of this equipment. Now I come to methodical results. At Fourier stress diffractometer, a new Fourier chopper has been designed. You can see here its layout. Now it will be fabricated by Airbus Defense and Space Company. You can see how it's arranged. It will have somewhat different design from what recently made for high-resolution Fourier diffractometer. And we expect that it will be finally fabricated next year and also delivered to installation place at Fourier stress diffractometer in 2020. A special electrochemical cell for neutron reflectometry has been designed for in the framework of the realization of the project on development of electrochemical neutron scattering methods development for study of electrical current sources. And in particular, optimization procedure has been performed to understand what kinds of supporting layers of electrodes and absorption layer could produce the best results in the study of electric current sources. And the optimal sets of these parameters, which will less affect the structural data from studied systems, has been derived. And a couple of papers, one published and another in press and Journal of Surface Investigations. The project on development of isotope identifying neutron reflectometry has been completed in the last year. You all hear the report by Dr. Nikitenko at the last PEC meeting. I just will remind you in brief that three channels for registration of radiation scattered for studying object, including spin-flip neutrons, charged particles, and gamma quants, has been created. Here you can see one of the test experiments for two channels of reflected neutrons and charged particles. You can see here the relevant peaks obtained from this complex nanosystem. And it was shown that currently this setup enables to explore the properties of complex systems with an accuracy less than 5 nanometers in vertical direction. But it can be improved up to about 1 nanometer with some further additional developments. At Fourier stress diffractometer, which has been moved some time ago from closed GKSS neutron center in Germany via St. Petersburg Nuclear Physics Institute, a new neutron guide has been fabricated and installed. It has M index equal by 2. And the old guide has a neutron distribution shifted to quite a long wavelength. You can see that maximum at above than 2 angstrom. At new neutron guide placed this distribution to the hotter neutrons at about slightly above 1 angstrom. And as you can see here, then construction materials has been studied. It was a cut of the intensities of diffraction peaks at low displacings, which has provided serious restrictions on the data analysis. You can see here old guide, no peaks below 1 angstrom, and with new guide you can see that they become fully visible. And comparison of intensities at FSS with a relevant FSD instrument have shown that they become comparable. So Fourier stress spectrometer, which is used also rotating chopper, but of another design than that used at high-resolution Fourier diffractometer and Fourier stress diffractometer, they become quite equivalent in intensity and will be just complementary instruments for our applied research program in the study of residual stresses and strains in materials. In the realization of the SPINEHA small-angle neutron scattering instrument on the basis of reflectometer Aflex, a new design of water-cooled spin rotator coils has been developed. This instrument is based on the innovative idea of time gradient magnetic fields, which has been introduced by Dr. Alexander Iofi presenting here. And one of the problem was that very large heating of the coils which are necessary for realization of the method. And it appears that they need to be good for reasonable exploitation and reliability, and especially the water cooled system design has been worked out, and you can see here distribution of temperature. The temperature become reasonable and well less than 100 K. Highest temperatures at the order of about 75 K, and a special cooling radiator for electronics also has been made. And we expect that new coils has been will be fabricated during this year and also first half of the next year. Also, at the nearest spectrometer, neutron guide system has been upgraded. The focusing section of the lens of 25 meters has been fabricated with a Swiss Neutronics company with a large M index of 5 for replacement of the old section without focusing and with M index 1. It has been installed in autumn at the spectrometer. And the total gain depends on the wavelengths and varies from about 2 to about 1.2 times. And the average gain is about 1.5 times per the whole spectrum. And this enables to improve the parameters of this instrument and also to perform more experiments in scientific research. And last result, which I would like to mention, this is the creation of the new neutron radiography and tomography spectrometer at stationary reactor VVRK in Institute of Nuclear Physics in Kazakhstan. This reactor several years ago has been upgraded for operation of low enriched uranium fuel. And our colleagues from Kazakhstan made a decision to create there also a set of spectrometers for studies in condensed matter physics. And after we discussed the details, we decided that the first instrument which can be easily constructed is neutron radiography and tomography. And afterwards, a special plenipotentiary program of Republic Kazakhstan to GNR has been funded, and the main units of this instrument has been bought, like vacuum collimator, concrete shielding, special CCD-based detector. And all these units has been installed a few months ago at the reactor at channel 1. This instrument will have quite a high neutron flux, about 5 × 10^8 neutron per centimeter square per second. And first test experiments, you can see result here. These first neutron images obtained there demonstrate quite a good prospects for research at this reactor by neutron radiography and tomography method. Now I'm coming to the end of my talk, and thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you very much, Denis, for this very nice collection of condensed matter research results at IBR2. Of course, it's not easy to raise specific questions, but nevertheless, if you have some, or comments, or maybe even general comments. Yeah, Pavel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Excuse me. Sorry, thank you, Mr. Chairman. The question to the last slide, if possible. This is monochromatic neutron flux or just the total thermal flux in the collimator?
And now just for the white beam, so the total neutron flux is used, yes.
Yeah. I see. Thank you.
Yeah, Professor Fuchs, please.
Thank you. Of course, it's a nice presentation that you gave, and there are several particular questions, but I only want to stress a point which you made in your new project, saying that you will connect theory and experiment together. You have given many experimental results, but the theoretical explanation, I didn't see it. Could you perhaps say one word, for instance, for the bulk and powder difference in the alpha-gamma transition in iron as one example, as a connection between theory and experiment?
Okay, if you consider in more detail this result, I can say that general theory on the mechanism of this transition of course exists. This is a deformation of body-centered structure for creation of face-centered one. But in this case, we studied teeny microstructural phenomena, which are not well can be explained by theory, because this is a microstructural effects which depend on the particular state of the matter in experiments. So we expect that possibly some modeling, theoretical modeling will be done, but it's not yet made. Because this is a many-body system, and because these are disordering effects, we need to consider quite a large assembly of the cells, and it's heavy to model on the existing computer infrastructure for this particular case, because this is microstructure phenomena. We need to consider many cells for that, for these disordering effects.
Thank you very much. I don't see further questions, comments, so in this case, let me thank once again to Denis and to all presenters of this first session. Now we will have a coffee break of 20 minutes, so please reconvene by 20 in 20 minutes.